All right. Friday night. Now, again, hanging out on Twitter during the breaks is just unbelievably cool. And I just want to thank everybody that's out there tweeting and asking questions. You can follow me on Twitter at Jay Church Radio. I'm very big in social media, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or our Facebook pages. I'm out there all the time interacting, and I really enjoy it. I understand the technology. So you can go ahead and do that and get involved in the conversations that we do over on Twitter. And I use a product called TweetDeck that advances everything automatically. I don't have to click, and I can just watch your conversations just buzz by, and I'm able to read them all. And so follow me at Jay Church Radio. Okay, now check this out. On the front of the Coast to Coast AM website is a picture. You've got to go and check this out. It's a photograph taken during a father and son visit to a medieval castle in England, and it looks like it features the ghost of a monk that is haunting this location. It's at the top of these stairs. It's an incredible picture. The man that took the picture was John Wicks, who brought his son to the Eynsford Castle because he was studying such sites and castles in school. And then they grabbed this amazing image. You've got to go see it right there on the front of coasttocoastam.com. All right, sitting in for George Norrie. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's open lines all night long. I have a full rack of calls in front of me. I'm going to get to them all right after this short break. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM, sitting in for George Norrie tonight. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's open lines all night long. Everything is on the table. With that, let's go to Wild Card and Brianna in Champaign, Illinois. Brianna, you're up.
Yes, good morning. I would just want to tell you that I appreciate your choice of music this morning. And I just want to say that my soulmate and I totally live in different worlds, and we love your show. It brings us together, and it's pretty awesome.
Does your soulmate know that you sent me the email for the bumper music? Does he know that?
Yeah.
Your secret's out, Brianna. Your secret's out. Okay, what's on your mind tonight?
That's it, and I just want to say thank you, and you have a wonderful night, and sweet dreams, my love.
Thank you, Brianna. Absolutely. See, that's a phone call I enjoy. Don't get those too often, right? Okay. Phil in Eugene, Oregon. Phil, you're up next on Coast.
Oh, that was quick. Good to hear your show. It's really fascinating. What's really fascinating to me is what the Hubble's been able to pick up outside of our galaxy, such as elliptical galaxies that merge with spiral galaxies. It turns out to be a good thing.
How so, Phil? How so?
Because what seems to happen is when the two galaxies merge, and it's possible because apparently the elliptical galaxy is a ball of energy, light, kind of translucent energy.
Well, what do you think is going to happen when we do start to merge? I mean, it's a long ways off, but when you look at the projections for the constellation and the stars in the current sky, and you look at the projections for those in 10,000 years, what we're looking at right now, it's simply not going to be there. And it's eventually going to start merging with other galaxies out there. What do you think is going to happen when that, you know, we start to have stars crisscrossing paths in our night sky?
Well, what I see happening with this merging galaxy is what I've seen in the pictures. Is all the stars go to the central star in the spiral galaxy and are consumed. And at the same time, a multitude of mini galaxies are forged out of it and issue forth like little spaceships of their own.
Right.
And they're self-contained units, apparently. And if you look up the Magnificent Sombrero Galaxy, there's one of them, I believe, right there.
What do you think? In the future, the thought of this, that, you know, we have a black hole at the center of the Milky Way, that eventually, is it that we are all going to be consumed in that black hole?
Well, what happens, I believe, is we become something other than just biological at that point. We advance to another stage of being.
Well, there's that,
just
or
a biological human at that point. We become what our ultimate goal would be.
Well, there's that, or we blow this popsicle stand, and we're not even on this planet when that goes down.
Right, right. And they talk about that in the Bible, too, the rapture and that kind of thing.
Sure.
Where we're caught up in the air for a time, and then all the matter, let's say, of a solar system is collected together and forms in a disc shape with, and apparently it looks like a rubber bumper that goes completely around these mini galaxies to deflect off anything in the universe that would bump into it. You can check this out. You know, you can check out merging galaxies. You can check out the Magnificent Sombrero Galaxy.
And I have, and you're right. And you know what else this reminds me of, Phil?
Yeah.
Did you see the end of the X-Files two nights ago? The Mandela Effect.
I missed that.
Okay, I'm not going to give it away then. But you can. What I want you to do, go watch the X-Files. And when you get to the end, and they talk about the wall, and you'll understand, it's exactly what you're talking about there. But send me a tweet in Twitter and go, you know, Church, I saw it, and you were right. And in the meantime, Phil, be safe out there, my friend.
Well, thanks a lot, Jimmy.
Thank you, Phil. Great phone call. Did you guys catch the end of the X-Files? Did you see it, Dan? You didn't see the X-Files. Wait a minute. You are my engineer in here on Coast to Coast, right? And you're telling me you haven't watched the X-Files. Clean out your desk. I'm just letting you know right now. There are certain rules in our community, Dan, and the X-Files is one of them. This is something you can't break. Okay, you're going to do it tonight? He says he's going to do it tonight. With that, let's go to Ken in St. Louis. Ken, you're up next on Coast. Ken, did you see the last episode of X-Files?
No, I did not.
Okay, Ken. Well, you can't call into the show.
But I'm going to.
All right, Ken. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just give you, try to compact this, my story. Because I was a pastor for about 25 years.
You were?
Yes.
Okay.
Since retired, you know, been about 15, really. And so I go back from there, go back to 1973, where I can make sense out of this, because I didn't really Google it till about 2003, I think, about 1973, what happened in Piedmont, Farmington, Missouri. And so when I did that, well, the whole story comes up there, and, you know, you can document it then. Of course, so back in 73, there was a UFO flap that happened between Piedmont, Missouri, and Cape Girardeau, about 100 miles square. You study it. And I was in that.
You were in that?
Yeah.
Did you see it, or were you just
there? I was 14 years old. We was at a farm, about 130 acres, white two-story house. You can picture that.
Right.
And, there's, you know, no houses around, very little traffic. And so I remember so well, we were sitting in the den, me and my sister-in-law, and I was drinking Mountain Dew, watching Gunsmoke. And all of a sudden, the lights had just went down real dim, and there was a sound like it's what it sounded like. It went, ooh, the total black. And then lights came back on, and did that three times. And, of course, by that time, me and my sister-in-law said, somebody's messing with the lights, so we had to run out of the house. And to the car. The car was out, it was kind of an old picket fence around the house, and we had to run out to the car through that. And about 50 feet away, and it was about a 100-foot oak tree, there was a light sitting over the top of it. And I didn't say to my sister-in-law, I didn't say, look at that light. I said, open the door, let's get out of here. She was trying to fumble for the keys. And I'm sitting here looking at this light, you know,
right,
scared to death, not knowing what it was. And so we got in the car, we took off, went towards town because my mom was there, because my brother and my dad, the St. Louis Post had reported that in Piedmont, that these lights were coming out of the Clearwater Lake.
Right.
Really big deal.
Right.
They went down there to see if they could see it. Well, here we were. We're probably 50 miles from Piedmont, maybe 30 miles, something like that. And we're the ones that experienced it. One of those, you know, lights sitting over the tree, you know, not knowing really what was going on.
How old were you?
I was 14.
You were 14. Okay.
73, yeah. And so we took off to town. We got about 3 miles away, and I said, pull over here. I want to see if that thing's following us. Because I seen, as we left, it started just slowly moving across the field. And it wasn't, you know, probably 100 feet, something like that, in the air. And so she pulled over, and I stopped, and I looked that way, and nothing happened. You know, I could see anything. But I looked over the top of us, just kind of, you know, as a kid, you know, I just wheeled my head over right over the top of us, and there was a black triangle came over. It's pretty low. And I'll never forget what I thought back then. If you ever remember this, the a show that was called The Monsters on television.
Of course.
And they always had those weird-looking vehicles.
That's right.
That thing, and that's what it reminded me of, something out of The Monsters, because it was black triangle and it had this weird-looking kind of a red glow on the back of it.
And well, so Ken, let me ask you a couple of questions really quick. I'm going to keep you on the line here, okay? So, but my memory, it's a famous case, but a famous sighting, and there were lots and lots of reports and eyewitnesses on the sighting. But Piedmont and that area, it's not densely populated. And everybody knows everybody down there, right? That was the atmosphere of Piedmont at that time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So did you know any other witnesses as this started to go public?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that's kind of funny about it is I was listening to a radio station in St. Louis here just probably maybe 2 or 3 months ago.
Right.
And an old classic rock and roll station. And the guy said, you know what? We sat down in Walmart and he said, those people are crazy down there. He said all they wanted to do was bring photo albums to me about UFOs they'd seen. And he had no idea what was going on. And I knew that was a big deal.
Right.
State Girado, the university there, sent out Dr. Rutherford, I believe it was, and he did a 7-year study. It's called, the book is called The First Scientific Study of UFOs. Can't actually think of the name. But they did a 7-year study in this area of what the phenomenon was happening.
Hey, Ken, I need you to speak up in the phone again. We're losing you.
They did a 7-year study here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you now. But before we get back to the break, I don't want to run out of time. I want to go back to actually what you saw. How big was it?
It was probably 30 feet in diameter.
Right.
Yeah.
And what did it sound like? There were lots of talks of sounds.
No sound.
Right.
And but if you just Google even Farmington, Missouri, 1973, the paper came out and interviewed us, and there were sightings everywhere. There was a black triangle seen over the airport, and it was followed. We still see stuff around here, but to this day, but.
There was like 1,000 reports over a couple of days.
Yeah, it was a big flap. Yeah, it went all the way even, you know, into Illinois.
And right.
And that abduction happened there. But we did have, I wanted to tell you, since we didn't even have a language, you know, as here I was 14. And then when we were 17, me and my wife, we had 3 orbs come by us in the same farm. They wasn't 50 feet away, come down a tree row. You know, the tree row was about 1,000 yards. And I said, look, and here come these orbs right down, no sound, right on past us.
Right.
So all this was going on at this time everywhere around here. And so as time goes on, as I got into the ministry, of course, you didn't talk about this stuff, you know. You didn't even have the language,
right?
Because you was had your nose in the Bible, right? And, you know, you didn't have the language to talk about abduction and things like this.
Sure.
But I just wanted to quickly tell you about what I call the weird revival, or put all this together. I could actually write a book about this, I guess. But this old man, we was doing this revival, and we was all wanting really to seek God and see God move. So we put this clock up, and we did a 24-hour prayer clock. And we'd all meet down at the church. You know, we go, I think me and my wife was like 3 o'clock in the morning. We'd grab up our kids and go down there, and we wanted to see God move. Well, little did we know what was going to happen. And I guess maybe we had an individual in our church. He was a good old farmer man. You know, you could trust anything he said. And I guess what this did as this prayer thing went on, all it kind of loosened him up to tell his story. And what he told us was he came to my father-in-law and he said, I got to tell you, boy, something before I die. And we said, what? He said, well, he said, in my house, he said, there was these beams that came through the wall. And he said, they took me. And he said, boys, he said, I looked at my clock. It was over my bed. And he said, I made sure that I wasn't dreaming, because when they brought me back through the wall, he said, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, I stayed up all night long to make sure I wasn't dreaming. And he said, we said, what was it like? And his name was Harold. He said, what was it like, Harold? He said, boys, he said, the light. He said, there was no shadows. He said, and they were all over my yard, and they were in robes, and it was just, they wasn't walking. He said, they was just floating.
Well, what do you, Ken, you're a pastor.
Yeah.
So what do you do with this?
We're in this revival, see?
Right.
So it's like a week revival, and he's telling us this. Well, it sets this mode for this experience, and we don't have the vocabulary. We just figure it's angels. Everybody believes him. We don't know.
Right.
And so what happened in that revival, you believe this or not, Jimmy, people were saying this. They said, hey, did you see that dude in black, that man in black? They actually said the man in black in the service. I said, what? I seen a man in black. It was my sister-in-law, actually. And when I turned around, he was gone. I said, this is weird. And so we would have these weird people show up. And they would, one of them, the weirdest thing about it is I was in my 20s at that time. And our pastor, he's a real conservative. You know, we're a real conservative church, right? So before we had the service, this one particular time, we would have a prayer meeting, right? Well, these dudes that we didn't even know who they were came into the prayer service, and the pastor, I'll never forget, he walked out the door and he turned the prayer service over to these two guys that we didn't even know. And it was the weirdest thing. And me and my brother-in-law, we say, what is going on here?
Well, now, when you are speaking now today, not only, you know, it could be Bible study, it could be to a congregation, but are you the UFO pastor now?
Well, I tell my story.
You can't have it both ways, though, right?
I talk about it all the time. In fact, I've seen, 2012, we've seen all kinds of stuff around here, you know. We've seen these lights come through here, and they'd be little amber lights. And then they would blow up real big and bright, and then they'd go out. You know, the stuff like that. So,
well, Ken,
the revival thing, I was just going to ask your opinion.
Well,
here we have this old man coming and telling us his story that he said this wasn't the first time it happened to him. And you know, we're talking about we're in the 80s right now in this period, and we had these weird people come. Even we'd have these people who would talk. Did you see those people that were here? Well. You know, they was out in the street late at night, and there was all this stuff going on. The thing that goes through my mind now, do you think that we possibly could have been monitored because they thought, here comes this old man that had this experience.
That's right.
He told his congregation.
Sure.
Is this congregation meeting just to talk about what he experienced, and it was checking us out?
They have. Well, but Ken, wouldn't you expect that? I mean, that doesn't even sound strange to me. If it was the opposite, and you weren't being checked out, then we have some issues here.
Right.
But Ken, I've got to take a break right here. So let me run. But thank you for the phone call. And what's interesting here, though, with Ken, you know, I'll talk about this after the break. I do got to take a break. It's open lines. It's coast to coast. Your calls are next. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back. Nothing like open lines Friday. I did it last night on my other show, Fade to Black. And it open lines all night yesterday. Come over here to Coast and do open lines all night. And it's just my favorite two nights of the week, Thursday and Friday, doing this. And if you enjoy what I do here on Coast, go check out my other nightly show. It's called Fade to Black. It's very simple to get to. Click on my name on the Coast to Coast website. It'll take you over to Fade to Black, and you'll see that we broadcast Monday through Thursday live from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time, right before Coast to Coast. So you can go listen to Fade to Black. It's all free. It's all easy to access. All of the syndication is there and different ways to listen to the show. And once it's done, it rolls straight into Coast to Coast. It's done that way by design. Again, follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. All of our Facebook and all the other information is over on our website. It's very simple to do. And with that, let's get straight back to open lines. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. All right. Friday night on Coast to Coast AM, which means open lines. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Let's go straight to first-time caller Ron in Birmingham, Alabama. Ron, you're up next.
Good evening. I'm so glad you got me in. Yes, I was wondering, how close do you think the government is to a full UFO ET disclosure? You think they're a nudge away, a push away, or do you think they have to be cornered and basically, you know, not let out of the corner until they declare?
Yeah, I think they're one click away from a very bad situation that they're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, I've created a website that basically guarantees both the presidential candidates will have to declare full UFO ET disclosure.
Well, that's and thank you for the phone call, Ron. I think we're really close to it for a lot of different reasons. And the main reason for me is after what happened in December, which is very important here, nothing came out denying the facts that were presented in the media. Nobody disputed out of Washington the FA-18 video. Nobody disputed Harry Reid's comments. Nobody disputed the UFO program or the funding of it. And there was much more to it than just that. So that that deniability that should have been there always in the past wasn't there this time. And that is as telling as just admitting to things. So what's the next phase? It's in my opinion, it's going to be something that, just like this last one, you're not going to be able to control. And that's my take. I think they're one click away, one download away, one bad situation that's going to blow this completely out of the water. And that's my take. And I think we're really close to it. Let's go to Barry in South Carolina. Barry, you're up next on Coast.
Hello, Jimmy. Go Beckley, Tempe.
That's what I'm talking about, Barry. How are you?
You knew I was going to say that. That'll be your last two words, but it's my first two words.
Nothing wrong with that, Barry. Nothing wrong with that.
I know, and I got a good question about that right quick. But just before that, let me say right quick that I am probably one of the greatest air piano players in the world.
Are you really?
Yes, I am. And as a matter of fact, it wouldn't be that sweet song that you were playing a while ago. It would be Jerry Lee Lewis doing Goodness Gracious Great Balls of Fire.
If you can't air piano to that, then you can't air piano. That's a fact.
That is the truth, buddy.
That is.
I'm telling you, if Liberace studied 500 more years for 24 hours a day, he would be as good as Jerry Lee.
Well, you know what, though? Liberace played air piano to Jerry Lee Lewis. You know he did. Of course.
He was the greatest pianist that's ever been.
Yeah, he was pretty good, man. He was pretty good. All right, Barry, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, actually, Stella Gobekli-Tempe, I wanted to ask if you know anything about where is Hosni Mubarak and Zahi Awas? They've disappeared from the face of the earth, you know, with the thing over in Egypt.
Right.
And I'm just wondering if they're dead or been tortured to death.
Well, slow down there, Barry. Slow down. Mubarak has been sick, though. So that part of it, I think he's out of the hospital, maybe out of prison. He's in house arrest or something. But I don't really follow that part of it. As far as Zahi goes, I think Zahi wants his gig back. At the Cairo Museum, but I'm not so, you know, in, you know, the Office of Antiquities over there in Cairo. I know he wants his gig back. Of course he does. But he has been fairly invisible. He's tried to speak, and he's, you know, he's, but I think that his message out there has gotten a little bit thin. It doesn't, you know, in the words of my cousin Vinny, the defense's case doesn't hold water. You know, and so for Zahi, everything that he said, remember, you know, he doesn't believe in radar. He doesn't believe that there's nothing left to discover in the Great Pyramid. Well, what did we just find? Right. And so he was always stonewalling all of that. And now, you know, he's not there. And now we're finding things again.
Jim, he says that the oldest thing is the Great Pyramid, 4,500 years old. And you and I know that Göbekli Tepe is 12,500 years old.
He said publicly, Barry, and thank you for the phone call, my friend. Thank you, Barry.
I appreciate, listen, anytime, Jimmy, and listen, keep up the good bumper music. You and George Knapp are the two best in the world, buddy.
Well, we do it for you, Barry. Never forget that.
Thank you.
Have a great night. Zahi said, and that's a great video out there with him and Graham Hancock, where Zahi says in this video that's being filmed on a cell phone, he says he's never heard of Göbekli Tepe. Now, how are you going to be an Egyptologist and historian and say something like that, right? Because, you know, he knows everything about Göbekli Tepe. So there you go. I think Zahi just needs to retire and you know, ride off into the sunset and enjoy the time that he did have here. That's my take. I'm sticking to it. Let's go to Joe in British Columbia, Canada, International Line. You're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Joe. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, it's good. You got me. I almost fell asleep.
Okay, Joe. What's on your mind?
Yes. About the ETs.
Yes.
Yeah, there are a lot of benevolent ETs that they patrol our Earth and our solar system. You should appreciate them.
I do. Do you?
Oh, yes.
Of course.
They are always... catching this asteroid. They are patrolling.
Sure.
About the over the space in our planet Earth, and they are following the asteroid, especially asteroid coming far away.
Yeah, it makes you
asteroid until if it is dangerous for Earth, they explode them in the space.
Well, it makes you wonder, Joe, why we haven't been hit by anything significant.
Yeah, because of them. They are patrolling our Earth.
That's good to know.
Benevolent ET who patrol all our solar system.
They're there. Joe, you're absolutely right. And when we stop and think about the odds of nothing hitting here in 65 million years, well, we have Tunguska. That was pretty. But as far as something hitting this planet and splitting it in two, it just hasn't happened, and we're still here. Is it luck? Is it just the odds that it hasn't happened, or is somebody out there looking out for us? Very interesting. Okay, let's see here. Let's go to first time caller Rudy in McCannon, Texas. You're up next on Coast.
Jimmy, how you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing good, Rudy. What's on your mind?
Okay, so listening to you guys, you know, for years, but this is what happened. A few years back, say like it was on the 4th of July, 2014.
Right.
And we're in Houston. Now, it's in a big city, you always see things in the sky, right? Well, I'm going to my cousin's house for a barbecue. Now, there's a, he's got a big family, so it's me, my cousin, his three kids, my other cousin, his in-laws, and then his son. So we're there barbecuing, shooting some fireworks. And, you know, there's still a little bit of sky, like light in the sky, right? And, you know, they're shooting off, so we're looking up in the sky, you know, when they're shooting off the fireworks. And then me and my cousin noticed this one just something in the sky just there. Now, when we look at it, it's like a ball, but like a little mechanic looking, right? And we're like, okay. And it's, and we're looking at it, and it's like you have that feeling like it's looking at you back. We're looking at it, and it starts like doing a little dance, you know. And then it fades away. So we're like, nah, it's nothing. But then we see a second one come along and doing the same thing, and we're like, no, this can't be. So we're like, hey, get the phone, go ahead, you know, I'm recording it, he's recording it. And so we're there like looking at it, and it's doing its thing again and again, and then it fades away, like, you know, into the distance. And then the third one comes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, three. And it's doing the same thing again, a little bit slower, taking its time.
Rudy, we're going to run out of time here. We're at the end of the show. Let me get a couple of questions in really quick. How big were these? Because you're calling them metallic, so they were big enough that you could see that they were metallic, right?
Yeah, metallic, but like it looked like it was, I had like a little like yellow and orange to it, like a little flare to it. You know what I mean?
And how big were they?
From a distance.
Well, they were if they were close enough to see that they were metallic and orange and whatever, but you could see that they weren't that far away.
That far away at all? No, they weren't that far.
How far?
In the sky, maybe. It would be like standing, you see like an airplane pass by, and like, you know, like see that, like the color off of it.
Sure.
It wasn't that far.
Yeah, that's cool. And you got everything on videotape.
And that's the trippy part, because like the when we went back to the video, I didn't have nothing on the video, and my cousin looked, and he didn't have anything on it too. But on his video though, like when you would zoom in, like it was like something was there, but nothing was there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's hard. It's hard for the way that the pickup runs on the sensor on a cell phone to focus in and pick up on stuff like that at a distance. It's not like a, you know, a big lens on a photo camera and a telephoto. It's a different way of doing things. So I understand that, but the sighting itself, that there was one, then two, then three objects, and they were all doing the same thing, and that you could see that they were metallic. That's fascinating to me, Rudy, and that's a really, really good sighting. Was there, I've got to run because I'm going to try to get one more call in, but were there any other sightings in the Houston area that were talking about this and, you know, in the media?
I tried to go ahead and look on YouTube, and then I've seen some, like some people report some of this, like of the same thing that I saw, and I talked to other people.
Right.
We've seen the same thing, but what was really odd too is because I've had little odd things like that happen in the past. My mom was saying, you know what it was? You probably called them to come. I'm like, what? And I'm like, yeah, you probably called them to come. Because I swear to you, I have memories of back when in West Houston, which is Katy, of when I was younger.
Right.
Going ahead and like everyone was asleep. And then I like would slowly like elevate on one occasion, where I would like walk up in the air, like going up, walking up steps and then just disappearing. Like that, then I don't remember anything else.
Did your mom have these same memories?
My mom has like her own little odd things. Like, I'll give you an example. Say my mom went into surgery. And they're doing the surgery, and she said that the doctors told her, because they were, you know, like sewing up her woman parts because she had no more kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they said that they went in her, that they have like markings of her inside of her, like she already had surgery for something else. Never had surgery before.
That's so, yeah. Well, but when she said to you that you were calling these, right, that you were attracting them, it sounds mm-hmm. to me like she knew what she was talking about.
Yeah, it's because I would have like nightmares when I was younger, and I would have nightmares. I guess now that I'm older, I have something to relate. Like I know what they are. Like of graves coming, like scaring like a lot of me. And that's you know, that, and she remembers that of me, you know, me telling her about the dreams and everything. So that's what she was referring to at that time. You're calling them. That's why they came.
Wow, absolutely fascinating. And I'm going to just mention again that Rudy's talking about July 4th, 2014, over Houston, Texas, where they saw not one, not two, but three metallic fireballs as they were heading over for a barbecue. Now, if you're in the Houston area, certainly July 4th, 2014, I would love to hear from you. Just hit me up on Twitter. Very simple, at J Church Radio. I would love to be in contact with anybody. And Rudy, you should do the same thing. Just stay in touch with me on Twitter right there, and you never know. You may be able to get in touch with or see photographs or images of what happened over Houston in July of 2014.
All right, then, Jimmy.
Thank you so much, Rudy, and be safe out there.
You too, my friend. You have a great one.
Yeah, you too. Absolutely fantastic. And I'm at the end of the show here, but I want to go to Billy in Alabama. Billy, I've only got about 45 seconds, but you said you had a sighting in Iraq in 2009.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, lost Billy. Okay, he was there. Well, these sightings and these dates and these specifics, you know, tonight, talking about Piedmont in down near St. Louis and Cape Girardeau in 1973, Rudy with his sighting in Houston in 2014. Things like this happen all the time. Last week, here on Coast, I was talking about my wife had a sighting over here in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley. I got about 5 emails on that with people seeing the exact same thing. You remember me talking about that, Dan? And I got an email the next day. And unless you mention it, most people will just forget it, right? It just like goes in and out and it's gone. And that's why I do like to remind people specifically about these dates and times and just go back. You never know. And then you get confirmation. Maybe somebody's got pictures out there. Well, that's it. This wraps up another Friday night on Coast to Coast. Sitting in for George Norrie, I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I got to just say thank you right now to Dan, to Donna, to Lex, to Lisa, to Stephanie, to George, Tommy, and my wife, Rita. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Go Beckley Tappy.